I'm standing in my Savior's shadow. He is watching over me. I feel the rain, I hear the thunder as He cries for me. I'm standing in my Savior's shadow. Grace will lead to where I'm free. I take His hand, we walk together. His light shines on me. Though the devil tries to break me, my sweet Jesus won't forsake me. When I'm in my Savior's shadow, where I'm supposed to be. I'm standing in my Savior's shadow, following His footsteps there. Every mountain, every ocean hears my every prayer. Though the devil tries to break me, my sweet Jesus won't forsake me. When I'm in my Savior's shadow, where I'm supposed to be. Though the devil tries to break me, my sweet Jesus won't forsake me. When I'm in my Savior's shadow, where I'm supposed to be. When I'm in my Savior's shadow, I'm who I'm supposed to be.
Hallelujah. Standing in my Savior's shadow. That's where I'm supposed to be. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. See, when somebody knows about Jesus, he's going to tell somebody else about Jesus. That's what this means. You know about Jesus, you're going to tell your house about it, right? I'm not talking about your physical building. I listened to the Rabbi Zechariah, who's going to be with the Lord. And he explained something very interesting. Charles Wesley rode on a horse at 200,000 miles to preach the gospel on a horseback. And he said, he's the only preacher that I know of that takes preaching the Sermon on the Mount literal. So, for those of you who know what a mount is in the old days, you will get what the joke is. Sermon on the Mount, riding on a horse. Horse is my mount. Anyway, we have some interesting stuff going on in the world today. And it's getting more interesting by the minute. Not by the hour, by the minute. You miss news today, you're behind by a week. All depends what news you're listening to. Very interesting stuff going on. Trying to bring in a one world government, a world agenda. And there's more and more stuff coming out of what's happening. First time I've been studying and hearing of different testimonies about the pedophilia that is taking place in the government and in Hollywood. And that pedophilia is child sex trafficking, child sacrificing, selling body parts, using the body parts to somehow get them to intermingle them with animal parts to see what's going to happen. And I heard the top FBI guy saying in the last couple of weeks, they arrested over 1,500 pedophile people. And they're not talking about guys on the street. They're talking about government people that they're arresting. And Donald Trump himself said they over the last few weeks, they have arrested hundreds of those rioters on the street who were antagonizing everybody and just doing all this damage. They're focusing in on them, arresting them by the hundreds. What's going on? They're trying to bring unrest, to bring in a one world government, so that people will begin to lose their things on the government. The government cannot take care of us. We have to do something about it. So they're trying to bring in communism, or they call it democratic socialism. Anybody knows what democratic socialism means? Hutterites have democratic socialism on the surface. It's a way of having socialism by your own free will. But I come from that system, and I know how free my will was. You voice your opinion, you're shut down. All depends actually who you are related to. So there's no such a thing as democratic socialism. It's going to turn into a communist socialism in no time, because people are people. They do not agree with one another on certain points, regardless how close you are. Check that out on your own family. Like, look at your own family. Do you agree on everything in your own family? No, you don't. I remember one lady telling me the Hutterite system would be the perfect place to live if we would all be Christians. And that person was an anti-rapture person. And I said, yes, me and you are going to be in the same Hutterite colony. I believe in the rapture, you don't. So guess where the fight begins? Debating the rapture. And it sometimes gets pretty interesting when you debate the rapture. Today I want to teach on that very subject. How will the rapture take place? When will it take place? The day and the hour, we don't know. We've discussed that. That's an interesting one. Only God knows. But there are interesting things in the Bible that very clearly explain how things are taking shape. I got a letter in from a person from Radioland who explained that I have a way of bringing out scripture that pinpoint to exactly what I'm saying. Where do you get these scripture from? By studying the word. And then you know they're there. That's how it works. Or you study other preachers and teachers. For instance, yesterday I spent about 3/4 of an hour listening to a guy on who the two witnesses were going to be. And I was listening with interest because he had scripture. He took painstaking time to point out with scripture that the two witnesses were going to be the nation of Israel and the Church of Jesus Christ. He explained it, but Steve debunked it this morning with one little interesting verse. He debunked it this way, and the two witnesses were killed in the streets of Jerusalem. Imagine the piles of Christians. If they were the two witnesses and the piles of Jews that would be piled up and killed in the streets of Jerusalem, if his theory was true, can't happen. It has to be two people that are killed in the streets of Jerusalem, and they're going to be there for 3 days, and then God is going to rise them up. So I don't have to study the rest of his theory, because it's already debunked, so what's the use? Anyway, God wants to show us what's going to take place, so we're going to go into Scripture and bring it forth and explain it in simple ways. Not me trying to give you 200 scriptures, but one or two which point to the fact. You don't have to go around the bush in 200 ways. You just point to the fact. Here is what it says. Read the rest of the story. Make sure these two scriptures are your focus. Try to make sense of it and look at it, and God will give you revelations. Hallelujah. So before we get into this message today, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your word. Lord, we can lean on it, we can look at it, and we can see what you're trying to tell us. We thank you, God, for the grace that you have given us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Revelation chapter 4. We have to remember, the Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, those who read this book here, this story, they will be blessed. With what will they be blessed? With knowledge, with understanding. So if you study, you will be blessed. But we also know that the first three chapters cover the church of Jesus Christ. And after the third chapter, something changes. John is taken up into heaven after he is finished talking to the churches. Revelation chapter 4 in verse 1, it says, "And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither." That's what the Lord is going to tell us one of these days. Come up hither. Hallelujah. We're going to have a good time for the rest of eternity. And he said, "I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Hereafter what? Hereafter when the church is finished on this earth. I'm going to show you what's going to happen in the next 7 years. The church is finished. We have to see what's going to happen hereafter. "And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Who is the one sitting on the throne? It's the Lord God himself, high and lifted up, sitting on the throne. And John was immediately there after the come up hither. And then in Revelation chapter 4, it gives you what he saw, but I'll give you a very interesting scripture that fits in with the message I'm giving. But he shows you what's around the throne. But here in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 6, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." So what does John see? He sees the throne. And then he sees those four beasts around the throne. There's four of them. And there were the 24 elders when you study. But there's also a crystal sea of glass. So what he's telling us, there's a wide open expanse there, a huge area, a sea of glass, empty. A sea of glass is empty. So I want you to pay attention to that. And then he goes on to say in Revelation chapter 5, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book, to loosen the seals thereof?" Not Hillary Clinton, not Obama, it's not Hitler, not Mussolini. None of those guys are worthy to open that scroll and to open the seals thereof. It says, "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." What is that book about? What is that scroll about? It's the scroll that explains the great tribulation. Nobody can start the tribulation except the one that was found worthy. Nobody can say, we're going to have a one world government on earth except the person who is worthy. Hallelujah. And it says in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 4, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So the tribulation hasn't started yet. The seal hasn't been peeled open, and the little scroll wasn't unrolled yet. But there's somebody who was found worthy. Who is that person? Who is the line of the tribe of Judah? For those of you who study your Bible, will be able to pinpoint to one of David's relatives a little farther down the line. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one, only he is the one that was found worthy to kick off the 7-year tribulation period. And what is the 7-year tribulation period for? The times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. God is finished with them. Now he's got 7 years left to deal with the Jews. Where do those 7 years come from? They were cut off when Jesus was crucified. There was still 7 years left. When you study the book of Daniel, it prophesies 149 years, and there are 7 years left. I don't quite have the exact number, but it was cut off when Messiah was cut off at Jerusalem at the crucifixion. That's when it stopped, the timetable for the Jews. And one of these days, that 7-year period is going to kick off again. And guess what? All hell is going to break loose on this planet. Now listen to what's happening here. Revelation chapter 5. And who? And Jesus. I'll give the name here. And Jesus came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. For those of you who don't believe in the Trinity, need to study this scripture. He didn't go and take the scroll out of himself, out of the right hand of himself, who sat on the throne. He took the scroll out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Two different entities. It's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's the Trinity. I don't know how people can get mixed up in teachings where they don't teach that. But there are some people out there, they don't seem to study scripture. So Jesus goes and he takes the scroll. I am going to open it up and you are going to see. Then something happens simultaneously as he takes that book. And it tells us in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. Remember, there's a sea of glass. Then all at once that sea of glass fills up with numbers of them that were 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. That basically means millions, if not billions of people standing on the sea of glass. All of a sudden, the question is, who are they that are all of a sudden filling that sea of glass? It calls them angels here, but John looked, and that's the word he used. But I can identify them very easily. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book. You're talking to their Jesus. I'll be one of them, by the way. Hallelujah. I'll be one of them. I'll be singing at the top of my voice. You know how good I can sing. And you'll be able to hear me at my best, let me tell you. And I'll be singing, and I'll be singing this song. Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed me to God. He has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That's Mennonite, Hutterite, Jewish people, Muslim people, Hindu people, Indian people, whoever you see on this planet, they have come out of those nations, peoples, tongues, and kindreds. Isn't that going to be an awesome time we're going to have in heaven? So all of a sudden, the sea of glass fills up with multi-millions, if not billions, of people singing the same song in union, all looking towards this Jesus who paid for our sin at the cross. We're going to look at him with adoration. We're going to see the glory of our God, and it's going to be an awesome time. Trust me, I know the word of God is true. So, what happens after the sea of glass fills up? What happens after the Lamb ticks, or Jesus ticks the book? Then he starts to open the first seal. And if anybody is interested in what's happened next, just open your book to Revelation chapter 6. That's where the tribulation begins. The four horsemen of the apocalypse ride out. And let me tell you, the story that you're giving in the Word of God is not very pretty of what's going to happen to this world in the next 7 years after we make our appearances in heaven. We're going to have an incredible time watching as God starts to pour his wrath out on this planet. Will he pour out his wrath? Are there going to be people saved during the great tribulation? Yes, there are. Millions of people will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to explain another sea of glass. But that's a little bit of a different story. It's not as nice as the first one, but it's still a joyous time of reunion once they get to that sea of glass. Revelation chapter 7 in verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribe of the children of Israel. So for those of you on the internet who are listening, if you think as a Christian, as the bride of Christ, you're going to shine during the tribulation, forget about that. Yes, you'll be shining, but it'll be in the portals of glory. Hallelujah. But you're asking, who's going to preach the word of God during the tribulation? It just entered our question here. The 144,000 Jewish people, 12,000 of each tribe, were sealed before the angels of God were beginning to pour out the wrath of God upon this earth. And how are they going to pour out the wrath? The trees will all dry off. The grass will all dry. It'll dry up. The sea will turn into blood. The earth, the Bible teaches last week, will be like a drunkard, reeling through and fro by the incredible warfare that's going to go happen here. But he says, before all that starts, we got to seal our missionaries here. 400,000 Jewish evangelists going out to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. That's going to be awesome. And it tells us, Revelation chapter 7, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, Who are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence come they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So these preachers are not going to sit home on their couch and say, we better do this, we better do that, we're supposed to do this, and we're supposed to do that. No, they'll be out there preaching. They are going to bring the gospel to those who don't know about Jesus. And I've got a bit of a suspicion there are many who are going to go into the tribulation who are going to know exactly what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, except they have been neglected to take it for themselves. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. But if you don't take it, if you don't accept it for your own, you're missing out on the goodies. And here we see the tribulation saints washed their robes and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Now listen to the Revelation chapter 14. I don't know exactly when that fits in, but it says, "And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach, and unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people." So those 144,000 are going to have a lot of help. An angel will fly through the heavens preaching the gospel. And if people don't listen to an angel preach, they're not going to listen to anything or anybody. Because this is going to be God's last push to preach the gospel to every creature on the face of the earth. So he covers all his bases. Anybody who goes to hell will have absolutely no excuse. They will hear of God. They will believe in God. They will not say there is no God. The Bible teaches us they will look up and curse God in rebellion against God. You watch the news today. You watch what's going on in the governments of the world. They are totally godless. They have been given over to a reprobate mind, a godless mind that has absolutely no feelings for anything or anybody except for themselves. Can you imagine shutting down the hospitals but not shutting down abortion clinics? Can you imagine that? That's a godless mind. God has given those governments, our government, over to a reprobate mind, a godless mind, where those laws are being pushed. Babies by the millions are being destroyed, being sold. Their parts are being sold for export and for money. Black lives matter, but for some reason, black babies don't seem to matter to all those Black Lives Matter pushers. All life matters because Jesus paid for all of us. And during the tribulation, this will all come to a head. By the grace of God, Jesus will take the children from this planet. It's going to be nice to see them all because of the horrors that have been put through on this earth. I have studied this pedophilia stuff for years now from different places, different people who come out of it, who somehow escaped it. It's 3 times worse in Europe than over here in North America. When you study what's going on, what they're using those babies for, it's unbelievable. Your brain cannot even comprehend it. how godless a person comes, who becomes when he has a godless mind. But what will happen during the tribulation? Will people come to know the Lord? Revelation chapter 15 in verse 2, it tells us, "And I saw as it were a sea of glass, but this sea of glass was mingled with fire." So you know, those people who landed on this sea of glass went through some fire to get there. "And them that have gotten the victory over who? Over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, and the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb." So you see, there's some Jewish preaching going on. They sang the song of Moses. That identifies them with the Jewish nation. But they also sang the song of the Lamb of God. That is so interesting when I saw that. God making sure we understand where these people come from. They sang the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." So we're going to see these things. People will turn to Jesus during the tribulation. They will have victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark. But in their physical beings will be killed. There's other scriptures, which is another message, which tells us how many will be killed. Thousands upon millions of people will have to give their lives for their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ during the Great Tribulation. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to explain you can escape that awful time of tribulation where God's children are going to be slaughtered by the millions, because the Antichrist will prevail against them. It says he will make war against the saints and will prevail over them. But he can only kill the body. He cannot kill the soul and the spirit. And they will be instantly on the sea of glass. And that sea of glass will be mingled with fire, indicating the horrors that those people had to go through. So where do we stand today? I want to be on the sea of glass in the first lift, hallelujah, where just before the tribulation, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Yes, many have to give their heads for their belief in Christ. I had to give up house. I had to give up my own people, everything, for this Jesus, for this glorious appearing on that sea of glass. I had to give up everything. The Bible teaches us, go and sell everything that you have. That's not meaning literally to go and sell everything, giving it to the poor. It just gives you an idea of how important this Jesus is and how incredibly you have to operate. If your money stands in the way, give it away. If your brother and sister stand in your way, divorce them. If your wife stands in your way, in the Old Testament, I read something very interesting. If the one closest to your bosom whispers into your ear and tells you to come and serve another God, you're the first one that should chop off her head or his head. And that's how it is here. If Jesus has come into your heart, regardless who stands against you, distance yourself from them because Jesus is worthy of it. Regardless how loving your wife is, how loving your family is, how nice everybody is around you, Jesus, they don't come close to him because He is the way, the truth, and the life. I heard this preacher say this: if Jesus has made himself known to you, you will also make him known to others, because you will understand his beauty. Hallelujah. How are we today? Those of you who are listening by the internet, do you know this Jesus? Do you know that you know that you belong to God? You may have this passive interest in Christianity. You go to church because everybody else does. How is your personal relationship? Do you have a song in your heart when you get up in the morning about this great God? If not, maybe there's something wrong. Maybe you need to search out your heart. Is the one that loves you witnessing to your heart that you belong to him? Find out for yourself. Get into the Word of God, because this is a one-on-one basis with the Creator of the universe. He is willing that none will perish, and he is jealous to have a personal relationship with the youngest person on the planet. You don't need your mother. You don't need your father. Yes, it's good to have them to show you, but Jesus is interested in having a relationship with you, regardless where you are in this life. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself and to those around you. Amen.
One day near the city of Jerusalem, the father sadly looked into the eyes of his children. He said, "The time for sacrifice has come. Our sins must be covered. Our wrongs must be atoned." The younger one said, "I don't understand why our sins can't be forgiven without the killing of my lamb." The father took the young child by the hand and said, "There will come a day when the Lion out of Judah will become the Lamb of God and take our sins away. There will come a day. No more sacrifice is needed. Perfect grace will be completed. Oh, my child, there will come a day." One day in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But he knew the plan of God would have to be, and in just a few short hours he would die on Calvary. His humanity cried, "Lord, any other way." His divinity rose up and said, "This price I'll have to pay." And just before the Father turned away, he said, "There will come a day. Your defeat will turn to victory, for the cross that you carry bears the weight of all the world. Come a day when the blood stains in your hands, declare the hope for every man. Oh, my child, there will come a day each day that we live among sin's awful curse. The evidence of darkness seems to only get much worse. We cry to God in anguish, Lord, how long will you allow this evil world to just go on and on? But all of us who've made this God our choice can listen in our spirit, and we can hear his voice. He calls our downcast souls to rise. Rejoice, rejoice, he says there will come a day that reveals the King of glory, and the mighty name of Jesus will forever be proclaimed. There will come a day, no more night, no sin, no sorrow, no more longing for tomorrow. Oh, my child, there will come a day. No more night, no sin, no sorrow, no more longing for tomorrow. Oh, my child, there will come a day.